is the podcast to the show. You can listen to or know.
Welcome to our Ted Lasso talk, the Tedcast. Welcome, all Greyhound fans. Welcome, all you sinners from the dog track, and all the AFC Richmond fans around the world. It's the Lasso way round these parts with Coach Coach and Boss. Without further ado, Coach Castleton.
Welcome back, beautiful people. Thank you for joining us today for a very special episode. We're going to talk about Eurovision 2024. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, we typically talk about television shows, and then here and there we add sort of things that interest us. And this is one of those things where I have a little bit of knowledge about it, not a lot, but it's something I really, really enjoy, and I thought something that the listening community would enjoy with me. And Coach and Boss know almost nothing about it, I think. So we're going to talk to them and see. I am your host, Coach Castleton, and with me, as always, is Coach Bishop.
Just make sure we have an Africa Vision episode.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Coach.
That's a good point, Coach.
No, absolutely. Listen. Hey, he doesn't know. Coach doesn't know what to expect. So he just said, right before we started rolling, he's like, "All right, show me some white nonsense. Like, we'll see. We'll see what the." So this is okay. No, but this is part of it. This is really good. With us is our boss, Emily Chambers.
He's got a point. Is all I'm going to say. He does have a point.
All right, so let's start there. I like that point, and I want to start there.
Actually,
Coach, what do you know about Eurovision? List it all out. Every single thing you know and everything you think you know. I want to hear you blather right now. We're starting with Coach. I think Boss is slightly more knowledge than
Euro. It is Euro, so I'm assuming that stands for Europe. And Vision. There's going to be some shit to be seen.
Okay.
And 2024, I assume, is a reference to the year.
Okay.
We have exhausted my knowledge.
That is it. You're saying that's it.
We have exhausted my knowledge.
White nonsense. Why'd you say white nonsense? I mean, listen, most things are white nonsense.
I don't know anything about it.
Somewhere in your psyche, you have an idea that it's white.
I guess in part. I don't like some kind of just crazy festival. Like, I don't know. I have no idea of, like, specifics of it, but, like.
Is it like Coachella?
Yeah, you know. Like, would there be. No, I would think more in the. My brain went more to, like, a cross between, like, Live Aid and Fringe.
Got it. Okay. Like, so, like, probably a fest.
Kind of star-studded-y and, like, big. Very, like, taking pride in that, you know, this is the real whatever they're being real about.
Okay. Okay, cool. Thank you. That's exactly what I was hoping for. Boss, what do you know about Eurovision?
A little bit more. I do know that it is a singing competition, that a number of countries in Europe participate. It is a big deal to host the Eurovision. I know that ABBA won in 74, but I just learned that recently. I have seen clips of Eurovision I have never watched. I am not as theatrical as I believe Eurovision would require. Like, I'm not a musical person. I am not a drag show person. That is not because I have any issues with drag whatsoever. I don't like that much. Pageantry is my thing. Like,
you don't like the pageantry.
I don't care for the pageantry. It's not my thing.
Yeah. Right. What do you like? Putting people in graves?
I mean, I feel like there is a big, big difference between full on Broadway musicals and putting people in graves. Like,
there's a spectrum.
There's like a sliver in between those.
That is true. My apologies. I've gone too far.
I will fully admit there's a small possibility I will be seeing the Huey Lewis musical this summer. I haven't decided yet, but it is a possibility.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know how. I don't know much about that. So maybe that's something that you can. You can.
It's just that I loved Huey Lewis as a child, and so this is not.
No mention of the news whatsoever.
Huh. I mean, that's fine. Like, if they should have put their names in the band if they wanted to be known. This is why the Dave Matthews Band.
All Gladys Knight.
Dave Matthews knew exactly what he was doing. And also, I am really pissed off. This is a joke from My Brother and Me, a different podcast. Don't listen to that one. Only listen to ours. But Dave Matthews himself does a lot of solo shows. Like, they tour all the time because they're the new Grateful Dead or whatever. Dave Matthews Band tours all the time. And then Dave Matthews goes out and does solo shows, usually him and Tim Reynolds. I cannot figure out why he doesn't refer to those shows as the Dave Matthews Man. So you would know it's not the band. It's the Dave Matthews Man.
That's a terrible pun. Okay. Well, listen, terrible puns are part of Eurovision. This is, we're really, we're off to a good start.
Perfect.
I'm going to say, I'm going to own right up front. We have a lot of people from all over the world who are listening to this show, this podcast. I do not have an encyclopedic knowledge of Eurovision. I am coming at it from the perspective of an American who has fallen in love with it. It's up there for me now. And my family, it's a family event for us. So it gets fun in that way. I did a thing for, when I had four kids and didn't have a lot of money, I didn't want my kids to grow up, being, you know, locked into a certain mindset. And Mark Twain talks about, Samuel Clemens talks about how travel is the best thing for kids to remove, you know, their ignorance and that sort of thing, for all human beings, not just kids. I couldn't afford to take the kids all over the world, even though I wanted to. So I approximated that by playing lots of music from all over the world. And then I, for Pajiba, who sponsors the podcast here, I enlisted some help from people all over the world, and they started making collaborative playlists, and it was just really amazing, and my eyes were opened. And that was sort of the start of it. Then when the pandemic hit, people were even more into it because, you know, you couldn't go, no one could go anywhere, but you didn't mean you wanted to miss out on things that were happening elsewhere. I was first interested in Eurovision. It was weird and nuts. From what I knew once upon a time, I knew there was something that happened in Europe, but we couldn't really see it in America. We just didn't have access. And it was like, oh yeah, that's what a bunch of campy weirdos do in Europe. They're crazy. You know how crazy Germans are, you know, it's like that. It's like that sort of thing. Or, you know how, man, these crazy Swedes. So it started out that way. And then, during the pandemic, they had to cancel, Eurovision, the first year of the pandemic in 2020. But someone shared with me, one of our writers at Antagonist Blog shared a video with me. And this is really the video that sort of got me into it, because I was like, oh, this is really good. Something about this just really works for me. So here's how we're going to do the format today. I am going to show Coach and Boss videos. Because of rights issues, we can't play the music or show the videos here on the site. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a link for a playlist so that you guys can watch the videos as we watch them and then come back and hear the commentary. This is super fun because Boss and Coach are coming in totally naked. They just do not know anything, so they don't know what to expect. And my goal here is, again, I'm not an expert. I know a little bit about what it is, and hopefully throughout this process, I'll try to explain so people have a better sense of it. The reason we're doing it now is because Eurovision will air on Peacock. You can now see. Once upon a time, I think the first time it was shown in America was in 2016 or 15 or 16, right around there, and it was like, Viacom. Channel Logo has acquired the rights to what, and you're like, Logo, who the fuck? You're like, oh, what is that? That means nothing. That's as good as me not. I don't think Logo exists anymore. Or if it does, my apologies. To the Logo channel, which
I was going to say, cut to the president of Logo. We're doing our best! Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Like, but now it's on Peacock, and you can see it live. You can watch it live. It's super fun. It will be May 7th, 9th, and 11th. The finals on the 11th, 7th and 9th are the semis. And it is fun. And, you know, for people who have families, whether it's a family thing or not, it's just something that you can do with friends. It's music in your home. It's all original concepts. You can't use songs that were not made specifically for this. You have to write your own music. And then each country they have like their internal sort of songs, a little competition. And then the country decides, hey, this is who we're sending to Eurovision this year. It originally started in 1956, I believe. And it was only seven countries or so. And then it's grown and grown and grown and grown. And now the countries, like Coach points out, yes, it's primarily European. But in 2015, I believe, Australia is such like diehard, insane Eurovision fans that they invited Australia to participate as a one-time thing for the 60th anniversary. And they just, you know, people loved it. And so now Australia has been invited back, and now Australia is like part of the Eurovision thing. And it has to do with the SBS,
anytime,
which is
I
the broadcasting system.
Somebody is having a good time. That's
yes. No, no. They're maniacs. Like they have always, they're just, so yeah, the thing about, yeah. Oh, why is Australia allowed? Yeah, no, 100%. A lot of people say, why is Australia allowed to be part of Eurovision? They're not Euro, you know, whatever, all that stuff. Yes. But they're so excited about it. Australia is so in love with Eurovision and always has been that they often bring so much to the competition. And one of the knocks on some of the European nations is that, you know, sometimes people don't always put their best, you know, act out there. So anyway, what we're going to start with is my entree into Eurovision. And I saw this video. This is from Iceland. It's an artist named Dodi Freyr. Dodi and Gagnamagnet. And it's a song called Think About Things. And so what we're going to do now is I'm going to play this for Coach and Boss. We will come back once they have seen it. And then hopefully you guys can at home can follow along. My apologies to people in the car. I know sometimes some of you out there, all the Willie Lomans of the world, are going to have to sort of suffer through this. But hopefully, like those of you who didn't watch Wayne and just listened to the commentary, you know, maybe this will suffice. So Coach and Boss, this is 4 minutes and 5 seconds.
I caught that Willie Loman line, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Hey, listen, some people could be out on the road. I'm gonna share this with you, and we're gonna start.
A man is not a piece of fruit.
Damn straight. All right, here we go, and enjoy. Think About Things, Coach and Boss. Okay. So, reactions, thoughts.
No.
So Boss says no.
Okay, listen, this is not for me. None of this was made for me. And if you didn't see the video, it's like sort of a vaguely synthy poppy type sort of humorous song, but not going all the way into humor. I prefer either lean in or don't. I will need to find it, but there's a comedian who did a song about how anytime anybody asks him if he's seen something, like, hey, have you seen my keys? And he always responds with, have you checked your butthole? And that makes me laugh. I like that. I do think that that's funny. But I feel like lean into it or be more. Humorous is fine. If the point is to be funny, you got to be full funny. Like, I'm going to need you to get all the way there.
Yeah.
The thing that bothered me a lot about it, though, and this is because I just watched Conan O'Brien on Hot Ones.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about how every once in a while you'll get a comedian, or stand-up specifically, where if things aren't going as well as they hoped it would, they will turn to audience or like look directly into the camera. At some point, they will be connecting with the audience member and say, oh, this isn't going well at all, is it? And they are attempting to break some tension to like highlight the fact that things aren't going well. And Conan right. said, no, man, you're putting on a fucking show. Like, even if you are failing, what you want them to get to is this is the best goddamn thing anybody's ever seen. So the fact that the audience within the video is like, we don't like this. Like, how am I supposed to like it if the audience that you came up with doesn't like it?
Ah, okay, that's how you... Okay, yeah, man. Yeah, interesting.
Like, don't, yeah. do not half-ass this shit with me. You fucking put it all the way out there. You dance as hard as you can. You try for as much comedy as you can. Go big.
Okay. I get what they're going for. That's a commentary. So the people who didn't like it are it's a historical representation of the old school Eurovision viewer who
sure.
thought when they turn around and shake their butts, like, you can't even look at that. You know, like, it's things like that. So, yes, absolutely. I hear what you're saying. Coach?
Coach heard the song, only saw stills because some technical difficulties. So that was fascinating. There were keytars involved.
Yep.
Some sweaters of the sort of ugly Christmas sweater adjacent genre. I got the sense that I got a sense of it. It was a little crazy. Okay. But the keytars made me go, okay, so we're all on the same page here. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, it's less. There's camp is certainly part of the Eurovision experience. It's less. It's not for the purposes of this conversation. You don't have to love the music. You don't have to love the whatever.
I actually like the song more than I expected to, based on how you were describing. Yeah,
he's got a great voice. Does it affect? I brought up the lyrics here on the screen. Does it affect? So here's the thing I took away from you. If anyone knows whenever we talk about music, I always talk about how important the lyrics are to me. This is a song where I thought, oh, this is a little creepy. You know, believe me, I'll always be there. You can tell me anything and I'll listen. Anyway, I thought, oh, what's the. I just thought, okay, it's a little aspirational. Believe me, I'll always be there. You know, I thought, oh, just okay. That's notable. Until I found out that this is a literal.
Did
baby.
Boss write this?
No. This is I'll a literal be baby. There.
This was, sounds like her like love philosophy.
He was having a child.
Oh, this is like
and so. It's okay. Baby. He's singing to his baby that's coming, and I thought it was so cool. I went from like, oh God. He says like, because I don't understand you. You have let you learn how to speak. When we first met, I'll never forget, because even though I didn't know you yet, we were bound together then and forever, and I could never let you go. So at first you're like, oh, God, that's like a little intense for a relate. But you're like, no, they're singing to this child. I can't wait to know what do you think about things, which I was like, yes. So this is Ted Lasso-y for me, lyrics-wise, where I was like, wait a second, you got me. Like, I did not expect – and I love that. Like, when you parent children – and they come up and they surprise you. And I'm sure your nieces and nephews do the same thing. Boss, you always are conveying things that who's church and things like that. Like these great moments that you have where you're like, wow. And when you find out what they think about things, it can be, you know, one of the best parts of it. So I only show you this to say this is what got me into that. Okay. I want to give you a couple examples of – here's what happens. The countries put together their best, you know, or whatever. They vote on it. There's often inside the countries, there's often, you know, division. And, if, you know, sometimes countries put out things that the people of the country don't love. Like the musical sort of entity inside each country is a little different, as I understand it. This is something where feel free if you are somebody who knows more than I do and listening group, you can jump onto the community site and correct us and let me know where I've gone wrong. But in general, you send your thing to Eurovision, your song, your final product. And what you do is you start out, everybody makes a video. Okay. So you have, what you're seeing is a video. This is a video. These guys never competed because it was canceled, but I thought it was, it captured a lot of the spirit of Eurovision. Then what happens is on the actual, so there's the video, and this is what gets people hyped up. Everybody gets the videos ahead of the competition. And then people go, oh yeah, this is my jam. I love this song. Right. But then your person, your group, which is a max of six people, has to go on stage and then do it. So it's one thing, and you can't use, I think it's only been a couple of years. I think because of the pandemic, they allowed background vocals to be recorded for the first time. But historically, you had to sing. Yeah, you got to be, right. And still, the lead singers still have to sing. The main singers have to sing actually on stage. So what you get is this really interesting sort of strange environment where you might get a super kick-ass video, but then is the person charismatic enough? Are the singers good enough live? Can they hit their notes? Do they have the voices required? I'm going to show you, and like I said to everyone listening at home, I'm going to make the playlist and put it right in the show notes, so you should be able to click on the playlist. It'll go right through every song. And what I want to show you is the winner last year. Now, boss said, oh, it's an honor to host it. That is correct. The reason it's an honor to host it is because it means you won it the previous year. So if you win it, you host it.
Oh,
okay. Except for last year, which Ukraine had won the year before, but a little thing happened in Ukraine.
They were busy.
Yeah, they were busy. So, the UK hosted it for Ukraine, and there was this great series of things where they would show a place in the UK, and then they would show a place, like they would show, let's say, a beach in the UK. Not that beaches are a big thing, I'm pulling something out. Then they would show a beach in Ukraine, and then they would show a beach in whatever country was competing. It was kind of interesting how they did this, the connectivity. Eurovision will tell you that it's all about inclusivity and acceptance and unity. And that's where it differs thematically from a lot of what we're experiencing in the United States. And this is something I really, you know, you have your critics who are like, oh, bullshit. It's not, it's all about whatever, you know, everyone can have it come at it from their different perspectives. But when you watch it, for example, people will make, political statements, but political statements are not allowed. So you have to hide your political statements cleverly. And I'm going to show you an example of one that I just absolutely loved. And it's how you go about it is so interesting, and it requires creativity. And then that contributes to the feel. And it also, you know, contributes to your national pride in the same way, like you put a country like has a soccer team in the World Cup, right? And it becomes this point of passion for the country. If they win Eurovision, even if they have a great video and a great performance, it is something that people rally around. So I'm going to show you last year's winner. It was won by Sweden. It was a two-time winner, which has only been done by Ireland one time before. Johnny Hogan, I think it was, for Ireland. This is a singer by the name of Loreen, and she won last year. And so those following along at home, as I cue this up here, again, you won't hear it, but you will hear us come back after Boss and Coach have listened. Okay, that was your winner. Thoughts? Anything? It doesn't matter if you like it or not. Just to give you a sense.
Uh-huh.
Anything? Did it seem different from the one I showed you before?
Yeah, actually, I like that there was not any ironic distance between the song and the performer. I think that was my issue with the first one, is that they were like you were writing a song about your child being born, and it felt a little bit like a joke, which I'm not trying to critique the artistic process, like in the same way that fucking Semisonic's Closing Time, which closed out every dance in the late 90s, like every single fucking one. And then also the bars when I went to college. It was great for that. That was about his wife being pregnant and him having a kid. So like,
yes,
sometimes you extrapolate shit. I liked that there was not the ironic distance. She meant it. Her voice is great. This is not a song I would listen to regularly, but I understand why people like it.
Got it. Coach?
Yeah, it felt like, well, the funny version of it, or funny to me at least, that I thought of it, it feels like a Grammy performance that would lead me to go, huh, she could sing. Who's she?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I just realized, like, I'm old. Like, she's not here for me. But I was like, yeah, it was all right. That was all right. I'd be curious what else. I was curious what else to do. I'm with Boss that I probably wouldn't be, like, driving through the streets of L.A. just banging this. But, I mean, no. I got it.
Again, totally. I don't mean to be putting on the spot. Here's the thing is.
No. I'm fine.
This is. I'm going to show you now the runner-up last year. And oh, dear. Everybody was hoping. I mean, not everybody. She won. And she won because most countries cast it. So when you vote, you cannot vote for your own country. You have to vote for someone else. And so the countries all have to decide, you know, who they want. And it's a really complicated thing. And Finland came right up to the edge. Like, if they've gotten a couple more votes, they would have put them over. But it's a different vibe. And I'm going to play that for you now. So folks listening at home, you can move on to the third song here on your playlist. And I'm going to play this here now for Boss and for Coach. Okay, so you see everybody losing their fucking minds. People showed up with cha-cha-cha shirts or whatever. And again, it's because the video was out there. People fell in love with the song. They pick their winner. You know, they pick their horse. And then they attend the event and they lose their minds in the audience, hoping that their choice will win. It doesn't necessarily have to be their country.
But it's not again, like an audience response situation. There are votes from the countries and all that. So like the fact that they went crazy is exciting and might influence a judge, but it's not like part of the, it's not part of how you win.
Well, that's true. There is a new part of this, of the voting session. It's not just the countries now. Now, for example, we can vote in the United States. It gets lumped into something called other countries. So if you call and vote, each country.
Oh, right. So you can vote. Like, you can watch this on YouTube and be like,
yeah,
cha-cha-cha, motherfucker. Let's do it.
Well, you watch it on Peacock because otherwise, yeah, because Peacock's the only place to watch it live.
Oh, Peacock. And otherwise, sorry.
No, I'm not shilling for Peacock.
I don't want to be added by Peacock either. Like, relax. My point is,
yes,
I can watch it on my computers.
Right. And then you could vote. There's a window inside which you can vote. And then so there's a country vote, an official vote for the country. And then there's the public vote for each country. And because the United States is not a member country, we go into an other category and then that vote, you know. So anyway, there people do have some say in.
Where's the window?
It's 24 hours from.
No, I'm fucking around, man. I was just Ted Lassoing you.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
Like, where is it?
Where is that window?
Where is that window?
I would have a little fancy latch on it.
The server's over in Virginia waiting on us. So.
Now, I don't want to take up too much. Listen, the songs are 3 minutes max. I know the first one I showed you is 4 because it had little, you know, whatever. But the songs are actually 3 minutes.
Talk about the actual performance for a second, especially for those who have not yet or don't actually go and watch each of the videos. That was kind of crazy. Like, I feel like we also we moved past the actual discussion of that performance. First of all, because I'm watching the video from you sharing it with us, when those people came out with admittedly tanned skin, I thought the people in pink might be black. But like the couple on the end and I thought, this white man got black marionettes going on. Like, this got interesting.
Oh, Jesus.
See?
I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Then we doing it. But then I realized, no, they was just outside. It's okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So it's I had that whole process go on for me.
Just buying a lot of spray tan. I like that you went with that possible version of maybe racism, because I did think if somebody from the United States made this video, it would be racist against Eastern Europeans, because like that it's not that I didn't enjoy it. It's that it was kind of like watching Dancing with the Stars on acid at a rave or something. Like it had a lot. It had a lot going on.
I like Dancing with the Stars, a good one. Right? I was trying to think, but it had a certain, yeah, it did.
It was like a strictly ballroom type vibe to it. Not bad. It's not that I hated it. I didn't even dislike it. It's just that I was like, well, there's
some of it felt like those of you of a certain age might get this one.
This might be
it had some
kids.
Solid gold vibes.
Yes, yes, yeah. It might.
But solid gold, nice.
Yes,
that's a good call.
Mm-hmm. Of today, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it had like you know the yeah, dancing yeah. and the yeah. big smiles. You know.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if they were in on the joke or if this was very real for them. Whatever it was, I'm glad that they. I am glad that the audience found it.
Yeah, I find that if you put too many body rolls in a row, things tend to get a little out of hand.
Okay.
That just as a rule. If you're ever doing choreography, do it if you want.
Do it if you want.
But I'm just saying,
everybody
body rolls,
body
I feel
roll.
Like people get a little out of control. You do too much body rolling at one time.
This is not Eurovision related, but still musically related. This is the only time I will ever say anything bad about Beyonce ever in my entire life. This is it.
Oh my God. Do not.
Love it.
Listen, this is just, it. This is... she might have done one too many key change on Love on Top. One too many.
It's not. It's a fair discussion to have.
Thank you.
The Beehive is not known for rational discussion. So you can address your emails to.
Nobody.
Dunley Chambers.
No, okay. Nobody. I burned my computer to the ground.
All right. I'm going to show you another video. There's two more. These are from last year. And there's a reason I'm showing you these videos. I want to give you a sense. And then I'm going to show you a couple from this year and show you and just show you. This is all about trying to get people to understand it, whether you like it or not. Again, immaterial to me, whether the music sort of speaks to you. I am hoping that you're getting a sense about what we're talking about. This one is Croatia. There's a punk rock band called Let Three, and they wrote this song to attack Vladimir Putin. But you can't attack Vladimir Putin. You're not allowed to. Now, the history of this is, Vladimir Putin ostensibly controls the vassal states around him, one of which is Belarus. And for his birthday, if I have my story correct, the president of Belarus purchased a lawn tractor for Putin as a gift. And so this song is about, it says, Mama, it says like, Mama, this guy bought a tractor or something like that, or was gifted a tractor. And then it's like, the moron is on the tractor. So, you know what I mean? So they're not saying Putin, but everybody knows they're talking about Putin. And in the end, they have this Rasputin come out holding like rockets. Anyway. Just watch this one. I love it so much. It's so crazy. But like this one, I just love it. I absolutely love it. And the tone of it and the whole vibe. So check this one out. Everybody move to the next song in your playlist. I'm adding it now to I'm doing it while we speak, folks, so that because ADHD coach, I won't know which one came when.
No. Let's not do that. We don't depend on memory.
We're going to try this here. Okay.
So I'm actually really glad you gave
the setup for that. Because I obviously had no idea what they were saying, but also it did create a context for all of that. Because it was like, oh, they're court jesters. So like then I could like I was watching it sort of through that lens.
Yes.
It was good. It was good and damn crazy. But I get where like if you're gonna say something about Vladimir Putin dressing it up and all that ridiculousness might save your life. So like, I get it.
So I think that the performance was way more punk than the song itself was. It's not that the song didn't have any punk to it, but it was a little more theatrical. While I was watching it, I thought about how I told the boyfriend that I was watching Beforeigners, the Swedish show about people from the past who show up in the present and bring their culture, so they are essentially foreigners to our time, but they come from before. Beforeigners, it's great. Swedish show. In Swedish, it's amazing. And also I was watching Dark, which is a German show about a time travel cave. And I watched these in quick succession. And he said to me, I feel like Europe is very cutting edge for the 1980s. And it made me laugh. Like, it's not accurate. He's not right. But it did make me laugh really hard that, like, there is something about European culture that is different enough from the U.S. culture that it seems both futuristic and wildly behind the times somehow.
Interesting. I get it. I'm
a little bit, like, right? Okay. Like, cutting edge for the 1980s was him being an asshole because he's a dick. But
it did make
me laugh. And
I mean, they might say the same thing about us.
They would be right, too.
Some ways, America is ahead. In some ways, they're like, oh, God, they're children.
They're fucking children. Yeah, yes, I mean, yes.
So, but I thought that was more specifically around, like, the performance and culture, no, boss?
No, definitely that. Yeah, no, we're not, he wasn't critiquing any of their politics or anything like that. Just that, you know, like, if you found out that, I don't know, I don't want to pigeonhole any specific country. Let's say France, because, you know, they could take it. If you found out that France was very, very into, like, Howie Mandel's stand-up, it would somehow seem fitting. It would be like, we're going to go back to his great stuff from 1992. And somehow I would be like, that makes sense. Sorry, France. I'm just ripping you guys new assholes all over the place.
Listen, it's not, I just want to point out the perspective taking. So for example, I was talking with a friend from Finland yesterday and I made a Jan Moss joke like you do when you talk about them and he didn't get it. And he was like, he was like, I was like, you know, the Dutch, they're truth tellers and you know, they're just kind of, they don't waste a lot of time with niceties and they just whatever. And he's like, he's like, that's interesting. That's an American perspective. I was like, is it? He's like, you know, a lot of people in Scandinavia would think of them as self-serving and a little shady. And I was like, you know what I mean? So I'm like, whoa, you know, so again, and we've talked about when you're a white person from America and you find out about all of the countries in Central and South America and all the different relationships between those countries. And of course it makes sense, but if you don't know it, you don't know it. So again, I was trying to, my effort here is to not make you like the music or anything like that. I want to show you how people come at it in different ways. The last one I'll show from last year is my favorite one. It's from Czechia. It is a, it's called My Sister's Crown. It is a response for women who are caught up in the Ukrainian war zone. It's comprised of, I think, six women for five different nationalities. They sing in, I think, four or five different languages in this song. It's powerful, and I'm going to direct you to – I'm going to show you the performance, not the video. The video is good, but the performance I thought was – epic. I thought the performance was so powerful, and they do this thing, and I just want to point it out because they have part of their costuming is these braids, and they do this thing, and I wrote about it on the Antagonist blog last year, but they do this thing where they walk toward camera as part of the song. I think it's like the 1 minute mark or 109, something like that, if memory serves, and they hold their braids out and then they drop them in defiance. And I'm like, I don't know what this is, but it's the most powerful shit I've ever seen. And I love the song and I love them. And we try to talk about, Americans are so dumb. You know, Europeans are so advanced, right? Things like that. And then you have Brexit and you go, God damn, people are in Europe are so stupid, right? So then, someone in Serbia will say, don't paint me with that fucking brush. I'm not in the UK. You know, it's so complicated. It's so interesting. One of the things that affected this performance was one of the women was attacked because she was Russian. This is a response video to the invasion in Ukraine. Again, not officially, but it's about my sister's crown. You'll hear the words in it. The big thing is we're not your dolls. You can't steal our souls. All these, it's like really powerful. Like I'm going to get choked up. I love it so much. And instead of some people saying like, oh, it's amazing that a Russian national would be part of this. Like they were saying like, oh, what, fuck that Russian. Like, you know, and you go, no, you know what I mean? Like and you go, oh God, people are as dumb as we are everywhere. You know, probably not as quite as dumb as we are, but there's some differing viewpoints. Folks, please move to the next one on your playlist. And I'm going to play this for, this is the last one I'm going to show you. This is who I think hands down, you know, I don't think anybody could have competed. I just love the performance so much. It was powerful. It was important. It's like exactly what I think this type of performance should be. It's not the campy wacko Eurovision that, you know, a lot of people expect, in which case, you know, so that's why some people wouldn't vote for it. But anyway, I thought it was magical. I thought it was unbelievable. All right. So I get choked up. I can barely hold it together when I watch that. I just think it's amazing. Thoughts before we move on?
So for me, it was interesting because I, you know, obviously, again, you gave us some lead up, so we had some context for the performance. So I saw it, you know, with that lens, and part of me was like, oh, they're singing the song that matters, you know. And then, but I also think, and I wonder how much this is part of the Eurovision vision, that maybe it all doesn't have to matter like that. Like, I think there's something romantic about, like, oh, they're doing a performance that's, you know, speaking on what's going on in the world. But I also think sometimes just making whatever it is your move to make as an artist is its own pushback against what's going on in the world. And so I guess I was thinking, like, how the part of me that would be dismissive of the song right before this and not of this, or to some degree. And I'm not sure that that's true to the artist in me. That's coming from somewhere else than the artist, because my reaction is like, I just actually was just thinking the other day of like, I was thinking about Waiting for Godot and like, what would it be like if somebody made a movie that was basically just that? And it kind of made me a little sad that I was like, I think you would have to be rich and make that with your own money. Like, nobody's going to make some shit like that, you know? And there's value in it. So anyway, I just found myself kind of going like, yeah, make a little more room in what is, you know, what you're giving its respect as art.
You know, it's interesting that you went that way with it. I was thinking, when was it? It has been various times during the U.S.'s history, I should say, the Iraq invasion, and then a few things after that. You got a lot of complaints about artists not writing political songs or artists not being interested in doing political things. And I was like, well, who are you listening to? Because the songs are out there. It's just, it's maybe not who you're aware of. Or then like, the Chicks famously came out at the time and said, like, we don't really support the war. And then people hated that, because if you're going to say something political, it needs to be the way that we would like you to. So I have gotten into, not arguments, maybe debates or discussions. Castleton, I think with you, I know years ago with producer of the show, Dustin Rolls, about the importance of FM radio and radio stations and alternative stations, and how when those went away, then music changed. And I'm like, oh, well, when those went away, music went on to websites. So like, I still feel like there's the same amount of indie bands and people to discover and like different ways of doing that. Basically my idea, my thesis is music changes, but a lot of the same themes stay the same. People want to talk about the same shit and they are doing it in the same ways. It's just maybe not what you are aware of. So I like that they are doing something so blatantly political when you know what they're talking about. Like people are making that, there is space for that. It's just, you might need to look for it a little bit harder.
Right. Right.
Got it. Okay. So to finish up here, I wanted to show you, I had a couple lined up, but we're running out of time. I'm going to show you clips from a couple different songs. I'll put the full songs in the playlist, but I'm going to show you just a couple clips, and I'm going to show you, through, I don't know how much time we have, but, I'm going to show you clips from two songs, and then I'm going to show you two full ones. And we can talk about them afterward. These are the ones for this year that people are getting really fired up. These are like the main contenders. I don't think, to my ear or to my eye, I think this is not as strong of a year as last year was. Last year, I could show you five more that I loved. This one, there was one from Austria last year that I really loved. There was a bunch. There was some really good ones last year. This one I'm going to start with. I just want to do a little clip for Boss and Coach. This is Ukraine. And this one's an earworm. Like this is one. This is the first one of this year's batch that got in my head, and I couldn't turn it off. So we'll start with that one, and then we'll come back. So everyone, go and click the next song in your playlist, please. Okay, I'm going to pause right there. I don't want to run out of time. This is a song from Ukraine. This is I don't. It's talk about dumb Americans. One of my kids said, Alonia, Alonia. I think it's Aliona, Aliona, but we always say Alonia, Alonia. This is a rapper from Ukraine who was just rapping. I guarantee I'm related to her. I just, when I see her, I go, that's, I don't know which cousin, that's my cousin for sure. And then Jerry Hale, who, is the other singer, who's like a YouTuber, and she does covers and things like that. This song, the premise of this song is all women who, all the divas of the world were born regular women and then became divas. And so the message is pretty sweet. And Alonia was featured in an article in New York Times last year as like one of the 15 rappers to know outside of the U.S. She's really great. And I love this song, and I think it's a great one. It's unlikely it's going to win because Ukraine won a couple years ago, but stranger things have happened. So I just put that on your map. Okay. Next one I'm going to show is Italy. I wasn't crazy about Italy's last year. Kind of a yawner to me. No offense to everybody in my family but me is Italian. The my first wife was half Italian, and Juliana was half Italian, so all my kids are Italian, so I gotta be careful. This song is fantastic, and I'm gonna play a little bit of it, and I'm gonna stop it when she does her shoulder shake, which I feel like she does this little shoulder shake and I go, god damn, like it is so fantastic. And this song is super catchy. This is Angelina Mango, and this is the submission for 2024 Eurovision. Everybody click the next one on your list, please. Okay. All right. That's enough of that one. Super catchy. She's fantastic. She's got charisma on stage. She can bring it. So she's a contender this year. Like I wanted to show you Loreen singing for Sweden so you could say, oh yeah, like a lone female singer can bring the house down, you know, that kind of thing. And people will get, you know, they can garner those votes. She has that kind of charisma and that kind of range, and her voice is fantastic. So just another one of the, now this one also is more playful. This doesn't have a big message. She's bored. That's I don't know the full translation, but she's like, I'm fucking bored.
Oh, got it.
But which is where all the So
what's
again,
going
not
on
a
with
big...
the hair stuff is interesting to me. Like it's braids, but it's not like it's almost like tree roots. It looks like to my
eyes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think like, that's the idea.
And so so I was sort of Anyway, that caught like that is maybe go like I'm curious about that. What's going on with that? But I got it. I mean, I don't think my gray beard is their target, but like I get it. Like sure.
Okay. This is currently the second most third most viewed video. I'm going to show you my favorite two, and then we're done. Boss, I'm going as fast as I can. I'm sorry if it's going to be 2 minutes. I know, but I'm trying to stay inside boss's boundaries, but it might go 30 seconds over. So I'm going to go as quickly as I can. This is last year I showed you from Croatia. I showed you the one from Mama, which was the guys who making the one about Putin. This is a different one. This is so goddamn catchy to me anyway. And this is the second most played one. And this one has all of the elements of a Eurovision like big winner. Croatia's never won, but they're so easy to get behind, and they were amazing in the World Cup. And you know, just like there's things about them where you just go, goddamn, Croatia's like just got some verve, baby. This is a singer known as Baby Lasagna. The song is called Rim Tim Taggy Dim, which I don't do justice with my American mouth, but you will hear why. Oh, and also with this one, I'm going to pause here. This one I have captions on because I want you guys to be able to see what he's saying. It's in English, but it's just, we'll watch this one all the way through. Okay. Everyone, please click the next one on your playlist.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm sorry to this man, but if you told me that this was the follow-up to Planet of the Base, I would be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Planet of the Base? What is that?
Planet of the Base was the fake techno song that came out last summer or something. It was like the spoof on the techno song. The lyrics were like, life, it never die. Women are my favorite guy. Sex, I'm wanting more. Tell the world, stop the war. And it was like it was so on point about how bad it was. And if you told me that this was the follow-up to that, I'd be like, well, it's not as funny, but it's still pretty good.
Ah, okay. All right. Wait, Coach, before you jump in, you might, I know you have to get up early for a flight, and so you might want to hop on.
Go.
I can just finish. I can finish up with Coach. Because it's, I don't mean to go over your time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to die. Do you want me to do a sign-off or just tell everybody I'm bouncing now?
Yeah, you can tell everybody you're bouncing now, and then we'll finish with Coach. And you've seen enough.
I've seen enough.
And, that's good. And then we wish you safe travels.
Hey, thanks. Are we leaving this in the recording? Is this where I tell everybody goodbye?
This is part of, this is going to be in the recording. Yeah, this is good.
I mean, guys, you don't understand. I fade so quick. It is immediate.
Oh, yeah.
I swear to God, I will be asleep in 7 minutes.
Yeah.
You've heard of the Scarlet Letter? Boss is the Scarlet Lady when she gets out.
I am. It's time for a bet. Anyway, yes, I hope everybody loves the Eurovision. I'm sorry if I insulted any European countries. I didn't mean to. I only meant to insult Asian countries. Actually, I didn't mean that.
Okay, that's great. Okay. Fly safely.
Now, Coach, were you going to say something about that?
Yes. And then I do want to see the other one. And I do have, I do have a couple questions I want to ask you. But
yeah, you can save them or we can go.
Let's save them. I want to react to the videos first and then like talk about
this
it.
This one has many components that make my understanding of a winner. You know, it's got a real catchy refrain, like the cha-cha-cha did last year. People can get behind it. Again, it's the second most watched video so far. The video was very, very well done. For these videos, this one was a really good one.
Oh, no, I enjoyed the video. I also thought, though I agreed, with some of the lyrics. I guess some of the lyrics I found myself going, well, shit, if I had to write a poem in another language, you know. So I left it at that. But I did
resonate with
the
theme. Oh, really? Oh, I thought it was clever. Okay, yeah, interesting.
Oh, the meow line stuck out to me. Like, I got it, but I was sort of like...
That's the weird... Right, bye, Mom, bye... Well, I said, I'll miss you all, but mostly the cat is mostly, an earlier line.
Right. No, I got it, and I was like, okay, that's cool, I'm riding with you. But it was, like, I guess the thought I had was, oh, that's not how you would say it if English were your first language. But I get what you're saying, and I like the theme of it.
Okay. I thought you would appreciate
that. Was my reaction.
Like, there's no going back. Juliana saw this doc that he's sitting on at the end, and she's like, that doc is mental. I don't understand that.
I don't know what's happening there. But no, I like that. And I liked like the older people in the video, and even like at one point, like he says something like, I miss your smile or whatever, and then he cuts to like this super stern looking old lady. And like,
yeah.
No, it was fun. I got it, and I got the fun, and I got why, like, I could see a stadium full of people having a great time singing that chorus and jumping around.
Yes.
And
you will if you watch it. I'm sure this one is a contender this year. So people are gonna be pulling for it. All right, let me play the last one for you. This is the number one most watched video. This is from the Netherlands, Joost Klein. This one has, it's like if you designed a show, a song to win. This one not only talks about other countries while in the song, and it's not in English, but you'll get the sense of it when you.
Okay.
And again, it's catchy. It's weird. It's got all of the elements. It's the most watched video. The question is whether or not it can pull it off on the day. But there are others. For those of you listening saying, oh, why did Castle pick this? Nemo, the code from Switzerland could have. I was trying to do this as quickly as I could because Boss had to go.
Yeah.
There are several songs that are really, really good. The code has a lot of the elements too. It's super catchy. This one right here, Coach, that we're looking at. Guy's got an unbelievable voice. It's gender fluid, interesting stuff. But let's watch the Netherlands one. I think you're gonna get a sense of this. I think is the front runner going in.
That was really interesting. I'm sure I didn't catch everything. There was something I don't watch a lot of videos anymore, you know.
Sure.
Obviously or not obviously, I just don't. And they don't kind of happen the same way they used to. Anyway, whatever. I don't watch a lot of videos anymore. But that video felt sort of in the theme of the joke earlier from Boss. That video felt very, I felt nostalgic watching it. It felt like early music video when music video was really... experimental film. People hadn't really figured out fully what they were going to do with it yet. People were just doing things and like moving cameras and seeing how that worked and cutting shit and just seeing like it was, you know, people figured out the recipes and that's going to happen with any kind of art. Right. But when I got excited about music videos originally, it really felt like shit, you can do anything.
Right. Yeah.
And that was wild. Like to think like you could do anything and to really ask yourself like, okay, if you can do anything, then what would you do? And, you know, over time that changed. This kind of had a vibe like that. Like there was some shit in here that I was like, that looks cool. Okay. Like it wasn't like, oh, I'm not tracking. Like I was like, what I didn't track, I just went, okay, that was visually cool. And that's what they're doing. But I liked that. But yeah, I couldn't decide how seriously it was taking itself to kind of continue that conversation. I would say that it felt certainly intentionally odd, like weird, like offbeat, but it also seemed to be taking itself seriously. It wasn't tongue in cheek. It didn't feel tongue in cheek to me. It felt weird. But it felt like it was weird because they decided to be weird, or that's who they are, and that's what they're trying to say. Not, oh, ha, 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 we're going to do like a weird performance and show everybody how clever we are.
I assure you, they are in it to win it. This one, this is like a, this is laser focused to win it.
So yeah, I mean, it feels like that. And I was going to, so that's one of the questions I was going to ask. By your description that like, oh, it has this, it has that, it could be a winner. My sense of it is if I were in that music scene, I'd be like, yeah, I've been working on some Eurovision shit. Right? Like, yeah. My other shit. And then I'm working on some Eurovision shit. There would be my get these motherfuckers to vote for me shit. So I wonder. So that was my first question is like, are people like, is it they have these ideas and this is where they go? Or is it that Eurovision is a thing and you come up with a Eurovision idea?
I would say, yeah, number two, they know what Eurovision is. This is an institution. It would be like coming up with a pro football team. You know, it's got like, everybody knows what this is. So like, you ever see like when a pro team says, oh, we're going to unveil a new jersey. And you're like, that's a fucking USFL jersey. Like, you know, it's not, it doesn't fit the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. Like, everybody knows what Eurovision
is. What that means.
Yeah. It's a thing. So
because I don't know, you know, I didn't know it before now. And I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. The videos and they do the performances. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious why you love it. Why, like, when you say you share it with your family, take me into it more. Like, why, but like, what is it? Like, what's the feeling you have when you watch it? Cause I was like, oh, cool. All right, cool. But I didn't necessarily feel moved by it. Like, I didn't necessarily feel like, oh, let me go tell Daphne, like, let's check out Eurovision. I wasn't mad at it. And if you wanted to watch some more videos at some point, I would be like, okay, cool. But it seems like it impacts you in a way that I'm curious about and I want to understand more.
Yeah. Why does it impact me? I miss Europe a lot. I used to go there like every year. And since I've had kids, I haven't been able to. It's just too.
It is.
I went a couple of years ago. Juliana and I flew. We went like two nights to Dublin, you know, flew from Boston to Dublin.
I remember,
it's like our de facto anniversary. We're not married, but it was like, okay, we've been together 15 years. We should
do something.
So we snuck away for literally two nights to Dublin. I'd like to see what countries come up with. This year there's this, we didn't have time for it. There's a non-binary artist named Bambi Thug from Ireland. Okay. And they have put out a video that has like witchcraft images, and it is some interesting stuff. My first reaction was to be like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, I was like, holy. And Juliana was like, this is the Ireland and Sweden have seven wins each. And a lot of it's the old days in the very beginning. They had they won sort of. But this is the Irish one. And it's brought so much like campaigns in Ireland from the far right to stop it and not make it the official thing of Ireland this year. Like, it's like a big deal. And the artist, it has had to fight through all this stuff and said, listen, like, if you don't, you don't have to be part of the team. That's fine. This is my whatever. And my initial reaction was very much like the right wingers. I'm not proud of it, but my initial reaction was like, God damn, I don't like horror. And so there's like a lot of like sigils and witchcraft and crazy shit. And it was funny. Juliana's like making fun of me. She's like, you stupid old man. Like, you don't like that because, you know, hundreds of years ago when your ancestors from Sweden got on their long ships to come down and attack Ireland, my people were, you know, my priestesses, Irish witches were up on the hills getting ready to, you know, on the bluffs overlooking the ocean, sending down all kinds of magic to fight you off. And then it was funny, while we were driving home, we were in the Cape the other day, Cape Cod, and we were driving home and we looked up this artist, Bambi Thug. And one of the things they say is that their father's Swedish and their mother's Irish from County Cork. And I was like, oh, this is like, and then when I heard about their process, and I heard about what they've been going through, and it made me like really reevaluate. And I was like, yeah, no, wait a second. Let's look at what this is. So again, you're getting any insight into Ireland. You're getting an insight. Is it indicative of all of the Irish people? No, like none of these songs are indicative of capture everyone.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean,
but I like the insight. I like to say, okay. Yeah. I'd like to see what's going on in Croatia, Switzerland, which was a non-factor for many, many, many years in the Eurovision. Mm-hmm. Last year, they had a great song called Water Gun, which was, again, a protest song for the war. It was talking about, I don't want to be a soldier. I don't want to fight with real guns. Like, I want to fight with water guns. Like, I don't want to fight with real guns. Like, it was really good. And this year, they have this one by another guy, Nemo, who's called The Code. And so, mm-hmm. you know, when countries step up, Turkey dropped out in, I think, 2017, and they're ostensibly saying, like, you know, we don't need, you know, we have better things to do than waste our time with you. You know, it's like, because their leader is not a...
Right, with where they are right now politically, I'm not shocked that they would.
That's the thing. Russia's been banned from this. Russia's won it once or twice.
Oh, but like as a response to the aggression?
Yeah. So there's all these mm-hmm. competing, mm-hmm. interesting sort of things. Georgia always has good ones. Albania always has. Cyprus mm-hmm. has had good ones lately. There's my mother's home country of Greece mm-hmm. was kind of lame last year, and this year they have one that people think is a contender. I'm not so sure, but mm-hmm. so you see what I'm saying? So it's just like this mm-hmm. interesting. It's the same way I love you see me. Get fired up over the Olympics, right?
And just had the thought. It's like artistic Olympics.
Yeah.
Like right before you said that sentence, I was like, so it's like the artistic Olympics. It's like everybody gets together and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. You put out your best thing and you do your best and everybody, I mean, look at the difference. I tried to show you, again, whether you like it, whether you're fired up about Eurovision, immaterial. For me, I know no one gave me an entree. It's like hockey. Remember I always said someone has to turn you on to hockey?
Yeah.
You can't just like fall. You're not going to just go, I'm going to go see a hockey game. It just doesn't somehow mm-hmm. happen. You have to mm-hmm. be in the family. You have to play it. You have to know someone, whatever. Eurovision is not exactly like that, but it helps if you have someone with giving you a little roadmap. So all I wanted to do was give people an overlay, a sense of what it is. And then, you know, they can make their own decisions about whether it's something that interests them or not. But hopefully, at least if you came into this not having any goddamn idea in the world what Eurovision was, at least, Coach, I would think now in the span of what, just an hour and a half or so. And I think you could talk, you know.
Yeah. No, listen.
You know, about what Eurovision is.
Listen, I think what's cool, what I find cool about it that would get me to watch it is I am, I don't know what the right word is. I'll say fascinated, although fascinated is a little, I find myself drawn to and wanting to really soak up great performances of a range in a range of expressions. And so, like, for example, at one point I got really interested in Marina Abramovic. Like the whole idea of performance art, man, is mind blowing. Like it's funny because there's a voice in my head. It's like, motherfucker, you ain't got no time for no goddamn performance art. You ain't shit. You know. So there's like a little bit of that gets mixed up in my game.
I hear that. But yeah, yes.
But also, there are some ideas I have that I'm like, that could be pretty fucking cool. But my point is, I sat and I watched the documentary about the thing at the MoMA, and then I went and I looked up some video stuff and whatever. And again, it's not my thing. And at an earlier state, like college me would have been like, so there's white ladies looking at people, and y'all all going to fuck down there. Okay. Right. Okay. But as I've gotten older, I'm like, I really have expanded. I was going to say grown. And people who are in their lane are in their lane. But I've expanded as an artist to where I feel like I'm open to the discussion of what it is you are doing. Apart from whether what you are doing is for me.
Right.
which is different. But I respect like that the one with the women with the braids. Like I liked how they put that together. The choreography. I knew I liked it because they did one little thing that I was like, "Ooh, I ought to tweet that." So I knew that I was in because I was like really watching. You were your arm's blocking her face. Like if you just went up like that, you would block her face. You know, but that means I was in. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't. But yeah, I think I'm rambling. I may be, but I'll say this.
No.
Seth Godin, who you know I have immense respect for, and got to know just a little bit. I'm not pretending like Seth and I are great friends or whatever. But I know him. He was on the podcast and stuff, and he talked about the importance of making art. And his take on it is like we all make art or could. Right. Like that the manager at the local fast food restaurant who figures out how to get everybody the right number of hours and make sure that Thor has Tuesday afternoons off because that's when he takes English. Like that's art. Like to him. Right. Like and he has a whole conversation around that. And so, I've just opened up more and more like the older I've gotten and the more I look at things. That like, it's art and it's almost, I'm pretty much to the point of, if you say it's art, it's art. That doesn't mean I want to see it anymore. Sure. Like I may see it the one time or whatever, but if you say it's art, it's art. And I remember being in high school and kind of rolling my eyes about it at the time that my art teacher, Al Doyle, rest in peace. But Al Doyle said that it made him crazy when people would see like stuff at the Met or whatever, and they'd be like, "Oh my God, it's just a square on a piece of canvas. I could have done that." And he's like, "You don't understand like what is being explored in these things. So you just see this square. You're not understanding like that there's exploration of negative space and whatever is the case for that piece of art." And I've tried to. The older I've gotten, the more I've understood that, and the more I've tried to respect that. That, okay, if you say to me, that car door leaning on that wall is your piece of art, then my reaction is, okay, I'm going to go over there and look at it. I'm going to see what kind of experience I have. And then I might ask you to tell me some shit about it. And I might walk out of here going, I don't know about that car door shit.
That's your purview.
You have
every right to feel that.
So, so I can see myself watching more of these videos. Yeah, I can see myself watching some more just to be like, what's some other shit they doing on stage? Like, it's creative.
It's fun. The live event is fun. And that's why I put it on people's radar with enough time for them to see it. It's May 7th, 9th, and 11th. That even if you only watch the final, you have to subscribe to Peacock or whatever. I think it's $5.99 or something. I don't know. I'm spitballing. It could be $7.99. I don't actually know. I don't care about Peacock. I'm just
they all find their right level to nickel dime us. It's fine.
They'll get the most out of you that they can.
We can, right.
But I just wanted to bring it up now while people have time to plan and put it on their calendar. And again, it's not going to be for everyone. I clearly got the sense it was not for Boss. That's okay. Again, it doesn't have to be like that. It's just something that, I've become aware of recently in the last few years. Yeah. It brings me a lot of joy. It's something fun. It's music. It's artistic. It's a nice little community event. And, our friends up in Canada already know about it because they've had it for years. Canada's part of the same broadcasting. There's a whole thing about how it actually ended up. But it's something. The point of this was to put it on people's radar.
I like that, and it fits in thematically, right? I mean, curious, not judgmental, right? I mean, it's interesting. So I'm glad you answered around what you like about it. And you answered my other question naturally, which was like, what are you did you see coming out of it? And you said you want to expose people to it and give them time to watch it on the 7th, 9th, and 11th. And I think that's cool. So yeah, maybe we do a revisit after the finals. If Boss spots out, I understand, but maybe we do a revisit to see, who won, and we can talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely going to cover it on the Antagonist blog. That's antagonistblog.com. Okay. And so I will definitely, I got to write about it. I just want to put these videos up there. It's cool. It's something that's fun. And again, I've said again 17 times tonight. I don't know why, but I'm reiterating that. It's good, clean fun. And you get a little glimpse. It's not, I don't know how telling the glimpse is into other cultures, into other countries, into a worldview that's a little different than ours here in America. The thing is, I think there's a reason why America is not part of this. And you know how we talk about, oh, it's not for you kind of thing. We have the voice, and we have America's Got Talent. We've got, World of Dance. We have all these different competitions that are sort of, they're sort of catering to what we think is good or what we prioritize. And at the very least, you look at this and you go, this is not for Americans necessarily, like by and large. This is a little for
you. I mean, if you think about, and I shouldn't quite say this because I haven't watched it in years. Actually, I have a video. I'm going to see if I can find those old videos. I had these rant videos I used to do. But one was about American Idol and when I stopped watching it. And it was when LaToya London and Fantasia and who was the other one? Oh, and Jennifer Hudson.
Huh.
We're all in the bottom three. And I was like, y'all must be out y'all goddamn mind. I said, now those three girls can sing. Each one of those motherfuckers can sing. I don't know what y'all are up to, America, but I'm out. I was like, nope. All three can't be in the bottom three. Absolutely not. This is bullshit. And I swear to you, I started out kind of half joking. I never watched it again. It was easy enough to walk away from. And I know it's still going, which I find fucking astounding. Every time I see a commercial for it, I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. But yeah, so anyway. But
it's a format that people like. Yeah, I don't know. I took one look at Simon Cowell and his negative energy, and I understand what his role is.
Right, but
I couldn't even watch one episode with that bullshit. Just something that does not work with my personality. Yeah. Which, Boss is a little bit of our Simon Cowell,
here's the thing with it, though, that I think does stand in contrast to what you just shared with me and what you've shared about Eurovision. It seems to me that part of the fun of Eurovision and why I asked about what you like about it.
Yeah.
Is you like specific things. Like, one of the things that we've learned about in school, I know you know this concept, but for those who don't know it, there's least objectionable programming was a concept that was really important in American entertainment, generally, specifically in TV for a long time, because there were three networks and it meant like you gunning for like a third of the fucking country. Like you can't make Better Call Saul in that setting.
Make America's Funniest Home Videos.
That's goddamn right. And so I think one of the things I'm liking about what I see here that I think that for me sort of like I felt like at a certain point with American Idol, which like I know a guy who was on there, like it's whatever, is American Idol to me feels like the winner needs to fit the American Idol mold to some in some way. They may look different, but there's a certain like least objectionable pop song is going to come out your mouth in the next month. Whereas Eurovision strikes me as the land of specificity, the land of ugly ducklings, the land of I'm gonna do some shit that's so motherfucking crazy. And I might win this motherfucker because everybody's like, god damn, that was nuts. You know what I mean? And that's just a different energy altogether. It doesn't feel like that video. Yes, it's done a specific way to win in this setting. Okay, fine. But it doesn't feel like let's make something everyone will like.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah.
And I like that.
It's not that.
Make some fucking decisions. Like, I like
that. You know the competition element of American Idol and those things? Where there's like this, I don't know, there's this we are fascinated by shutting people down. Yeah. And like we're more, people have a lot of schadenfreude about the losers.
Yeah. Like,
there's none of that in your, none.
Oh, really?
Zero. It is not about the competition. Yes, it's a competition. Everybody wants to win and all that stuff. But it's like everybody's cheering for everybody. Mm-hmm. There's zero negative energy.
Interesting.
It's just fun. When you say fun, like, what do you like about it? It's fun. It is fun. It's like a party.
It has that vibe.
Like about inclusion. It's about unity. Mm-hmm. Any messages of you know, again, you have protest songs and things like that, but it's not. It's not about like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not articulating this very well, but for at least in the years that I've been watching, I have not seen the desperation around, oh shit, if we lose, we're fucked, or, you know, there's no.
No, I get that. It also sounds like, though, there can be a vibe generally in life in America, but you know, around me, of like, I like this music and you like that music. And therefore I have to say your music sucks. Like, why can't you just like what the fuck you like? Like, why, you know, like, think about, like, the famous, like, disco sucks. Like, why is disco gotta suck, bro? Just go listen to your motherfucking Rock Band and leave them alone. Like, they wasn't bothering you.
Yeah.
Like, but right. We have that about us, though. Like, and I can think of, like, you know, MC Hammer with the 50th anniversary of hip hop recently. MC Hammer, you know, kind of expressed himself that, like, hey, I like my motherfucking friends. Like, a lot of you people gave me a lot of shit back in the day. And I remember. And part of me was like, he's not wrong. Right. And I remember feeling like, oh, well, you know, that ain't real hip hop. You know, come on, man. That's bubble gum.
Ah, interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I was anything of that ilk. I was like, come on with that bubble gum shit, man. That's, you know, come on now.
Wait, come on with that what? Bubble gum shit?
Yeah. That, to me, that was like bubble gum, right? Like silliness. Like, okay, that's very nice. Okay.
Uh-huh. All right. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do your walk down. What I just did for Eurovision, you might have to do this for.
That could be fun. But yeah, but it's a real thing. But I think, but I guess I bring it up to say, like, even in more recent history, like Beyonce doing the country thing. And then you've got people, and of course, race plays into that, and that's fine. But you just in a vacuum, I feel like people, there's a lot of guard up, and there's a lot of like, this is our genre, don't come wandering in here, and or your genre sucks. And the vibe I got, even as you were showing the audience there and they're going nuts, and like, I'm like, all y'all don't speak all these languages, is like, it's the opposite of that. Like, it's more like,
yes,
oh, you're doing a different thing. What's that about?
Yes, yes, yes. You don't have to put another country down. You have to put another type of song down. You know, it's not...
Yeah,
yeah.
I get that vibe from the live stuff. There's no gatekeeping. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you got that. That's exactly
right. So, no, that's cool, man. I appreciate it.
Awesome. That's hey, listen, thank you. I really appreciate it. That's all I wanted was for you to have that reaction and go, all right, now I know what it is. And listen, if folks want to watch, it's there for them for the first, you know, I think it was like last year Peacock got it. So it hasn't been available to watch live in America for very long, if at all, the last couple of years or so. So anyway, I put that out there.
And, I mean, they have more and more stuff on Peacock. They're making it, they're definitely putting the pressure on folks to, like, you know, to add Peacock to the normal, the regular rotation for everybody. I feel like there've been a number of things recently that's like, available on Peacock. So
there's been some really good shows on there.
Yeah, they're going for it. So
I can't fault them for it. Shit, you're gonna give me great entertainment for.
I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, at a certain point, yeah, right. I mean, you do it the right way. Yeah. So all good.
Well, thank you, Coach. I really appreciate you taking this little journey with me. Thank you to everyone who's listening. We love that you have joined us for this very special episode on Eurovision 2024. Coach, where do people find you if they want to find you?
I'm telling you, I'm pushing Unstuck as fuck. Get over there, check out the show. It's about 70 minutes, and it is part pep rally for you and storytelling for me, and it is a good time. I am proud of it. I'll say that. I am proud of you.
You should be. Yeah, it's fantastic. I urge everybody to please check that out. And thank you for joining us. Please support your local libraries and the written word. And Coach is all by his lonesome. He gets to say whatever his heart desires. But even though this was not about Ted Lasso, we sign off the way we always sign off, which is we remain
Richmond till we gum dollar dean sub dean dean. Something like that.
Was that supposed to be Rim Tim Tingy Dim? All right, yeah, no, hey, that's
I'm fucking around. I knew I didn't really remember it.
I love it. I knew exactly what you were talking about. All right, thanks everybody. We'll see you next time.
The TEDcast is a joint venture between Pajiba and The Antagonist. Visit us at pajiba.com and antagonistblog.com.